The local word on sport. Out of bounds. Triple M.
We need to talk about a big milestone going on this weekend here in not just the Southwest, but a massive milestone in regional and Australian football. This is one heck of a milestone.
Absolutely, and this is a bit surreal. It makes some terrific reading when you go back and read this bloke's history and what he's done. It's pretty unbelievable, but he did it, and he's on the line to us, and we welcome umpiring legend, Kevin Nettleton. How are you, mate?
Very well, gentlemen. How are you?
Going very well, and thank you very much for taking the time to have a chat to us. This weekend, game number 700 as a Southwest Football League field umpire. Is that a sort of strange thing to think about, that you've umpired 700 games?
No.
Okay.
No. I've probably enjoyed all of them. I didn't honestly think I would get to 700, but I've been able to get there.
So, Kev, take us right back to the start, 1978. What made you go into umpiring?
I played with Harvey Brunswick from 74 through 76, and then we bought a property out at Waterloo, which required a fair bit of work being done to it, so I couldn't give up the time Monday, Wednesday, Friday and Sunday to stay involved with football. So I had to give the football away. And then at that stage, I was working at Eton Primary School with Laurie Mormel and Kevin Lynn. And they said, well, you know, why don't you take up umpiring? I said, oh, don't be so silly. You know, why would I do that? And they said, well, give it some thought. So I gave it some thought, and that was the start of it.
At that point, were you thinking, umpiring, that's the devil's work, is it not?
I was quite happy to give umpires some coaching on where they were going wrong.
That doesn't sound like you at all,
no,
mate.
No. As players do, some of the best umpires we have wear club colours.
Now, mate, first Southwest football umpire to umpire a Southwest elimination final. What was the draw before that? Did you have Perth umpires come
through? Perth umpires came down. Yeah, we did the qualifying games, and they did the finals.
Yeah. Okay. It just feels like, obviously, you know, that's 40 years ago. It feels like a strange thing to all of a sudden have a completely set of new umpires come down and go, all right, we'll take care of this from now on.
No, we shared the responsibilities. We did a couple of games, and umpires came down from Perth.
Right. Now, mate, correct me if I'm wrong, because sometimes very rarely, but sometimes my homework's so, not
righto,
too good.
Yeah.
I believe you umpired the infamous 1985 Southwest Football Grand Final between South Bunbury and the Collie Saints.
Your memory and your research is right on the money.
Oh, look at that. It's amazing. And, you can read from a website.
Tell us what it was like being an umpire out in that game.
How did it get so out of control? Come on.
Yeah, it just did. There were fights broke out all over the place. And it was, you know, one broke out and then another one would break out and you go a bit further and another one would break out. But there's a couple of classic moments out of that. Mickey Grasso, famous Mickey Grasso, South Bunbury, raced up behind, I think his name was Ron Crabby from Collie, and sort of said, hello, how are you going? And bang. And all of a sudden he took off running and about five Collie players were chasing him. One of the funniest things I've ever seen.
was that a one-umpire situation?
No, two umpire system. We had David Johnson, the David Johnson.
Oh,
Waffle. He was doing it with me. I think it started when Jono awarded a free kick, and then there was a little bit of an altercation between players, as happens every now and then, and that just snowballed. And then it snowballed. Oh, big time.
Did you get the feeling there was a bit of something in the air before the game?
We knew that there was a little bit of feeling between the clubs.
That's one way of putting it, I think. Fair. If they're going to go out there and go the old haymakers. Seems to be the case. Are there any other games? I mean, there's always those sort of games that pop up regularly, but are there any sort of moments out on the field that you were like, oh, this is a very bizarre moment? Like any sort of out-of-the-blue things that have happened while you've been umpiring?
Yeah, there would be, but geez, fair go. I haven't had time to do my research.
Fair point. Were you out there at the grand final where about 7 or 8 years ago where a pig went onto the field?
No, I wasn't out there, but I know exactly what happened.
Oh, righto, yes, okay. Yes. You want to divulge the story?
The pig was released from the forward pocket,
yes,
or half-forward flank on the far side of the ground opposite South Bunbury Club Rooms.
Yep.
Yeah, and then it did its work and it created a lot of entertainment. And after it was caught, no one knew what to do with it. John Vidos refused to have anything to do with it, so the ranger was called.
I was expecting a spit roast to all of a sudden break out, but anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but yes.
So I suppose a question that gets asked, you know, you go out there every single week is, why do you continue to keep doing it? 700 games, 40 years as an umpire. Why do you decide to keep going out there every single week? You must love it so much.
Without blowing my own bags, yes. Yeah, love it. Without blowing bags, I'm good at it.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm good at it.
Mate, you don't do 700 games unless you can do
it. That's it.
Yeah, but you certainly get some help and advice around, you know, from odd times.
Now, mate, did you ever have a player that just yapped all the time in your ear? One in particular?
There's a few of those around, yeah.
Shorty never said much to you.
Oh, Jesus.
Shorty Daniels was never shy on saying a few words. Bear Evans from Busselton.
Oh, yeah.
And Margaret River, he was quite...
give you a bit of advice?
Yes, yeah, very good, very good. Very positive advice. Mick Murray?
Really? Mick Murray?
Mick Murray was always helpful.
Oh.
In pointing out perhaps you'd made a bit of a mistake or he didn't probably get any looked after him from, you know, as he should have.
Did you think when he goes into politics you should probably give his own back then?
He probably has.
That's understandable. Another thing that fascinates me, 40 years, obviously rules change completely. I know Crane and I were talking about, you know, some rules that you just scratch your head and think why they brought in there. Is there a rule that's come and gone and just gone, what was the reason for that?
Well, they've just been adapted over time with AFL interpretation, which is the hard thing. Because the AFL, one, is pretty well self-umpire. The players are very, very disciplined. They all have an exact knowledge of what's required of the game. And they have the skills to execute it. And those three aspects aren't always present in country football. In fact, they're not. Yeah, in most cases, they're not present, particularly in the middle grade.
And how's that fed down, Kev? Like, as you say, when the umpires change a rule in the AFL, they all get together and they spend a lot of time working through it. When it comes down here, it's more or less, what do you get? A bit of paper to say this is going to happen, or they send a video and say this is a rule change?
You get a communication from AFL saying these are the current interpretations, the way they go. Most of them are followed. There's a few that we haven't followed over time. For example, the protected area in AFL is a 10-metre area around the player with the mark, with the kick. We thought that was too great because, in some cases, the reserves player would need a cut lunch and a water bag to get inside 10 metres. So ours, we cut ours back to, or we kept ours at 5 metres, and it stayed at 5 metres from there.
So has the league and the umpires board in the southwest, have they got the opportunity to either take up that rule or change it? If it's
you do get local interpretation or local interpretations, but most of them follow the AFL call on it, except for things like deliberately out of bounds. We just couldn't cope with the AFL interpretation country.
Now, mate, there's a lot of young people out there, and I, you know, it's a great career. What advice do you give them, anyone that wants to take up umpiring? Should they go start with boundary and then do goal and then go to field, or you just got a bit of a passion for a field umpire? What would you suggest?
No, over time, we've found that particularly earlier years, that people would start on the boundary and then come into field umpires, and people like Ray Pulford, even Aaron Andrews, current umpire, umpired a lot on the boundary before he came in. So it was a bit of a grounding area, and then come into field. So that's just two examples. Another one, old Rooster Davies. Anyone who's been around footy for a while remembers old Rooster. One of the crowd favourites, Peter Franklin, started on the boundary. So yes, it's been a good learning area for us. They get to have a look at the game, and then come into field. Got a few young fellas who started. You know, I'm talking real young, who started on the boundary and now come into field, which is good to see.
You mentioned your mate Pete Franklin. You two have got the job this weekend, South Bunbury Busselton women's game. That's your field game this weekend.
Yes.
In terms of the women's comp, obviously it's only been around now for 18 months, but what have you noticed from day one to where we're at now?
Last year I didn't umpire at all.
Yep.
So I'm sitting on the sidelines watching. The massive difference between the top players and those who are just starting was just unbelievable. That's evened out a lot now. The standard of the game now is significantly higher this year. The girls, ladies, have really picked up on the skills, picked up on things like tackling, protecting themselves. It's been a massive advancement and a massive increase in ladies playing the game at all levels, at school, through juniors through to seniors.
No, they're doing a brilliant job, and it is great to see. You know, they go out there, they consistently go play football, and it's always going to improve, which is always great. Kev, you've been consistently getting out there and improving and improving and improving, and it's 700 games. It's a remarkable effort. We wish you the best of luck this weekend. Get through the 70 minutes you're out on the field, and congratulations on what you've been able to achieve so far and what you're still to achieve as an umpire. Congrats, mate.
Just have to watch out for them cows, Kev.
Yeah, just one cow. She won't give any trouble again.
No, true.
Just one comment on this weekend's game.
Yeah.
I'm the most senior umpire. Obviously, Peter Franklin is at number two. Crowe's done something like 1,300 games. He's in goals.
Yep.
And Damien Schiaffelli's the other goal umpire, and he's well up in the numbers.
Yes.
So there's something in excess of 2,200 games experience.
You'd think that game's in very well hands, wouldn't you? That is huge.
Geez, I tell you what, if you guys get something wrong in that game, they will howl the house down. Don't worry about that.
Hey, the ladies are very understanding.
Just one quick one, mate. Do you have an umpire's advisor? Like, is someone going to come out and tell you guys if you're doing it right or wrong?
Yes, we do.
All right.
No, they're going to watch out, don't you worry. And they'll keep an eye on you, Kev. I know they will. They always do.
They do. What they won't notice is pace.
Yes, that's right. And I think you're allowed that. I think you're well and truly allowed that.
There's a definite lack of pace out there with myself and Pete Franklin.
All right, Kev. Best of luck this weekend. Thanks for taking the time to have a chat to us on Out of Bounds.
Okay, thank you.
Out of Bounds. Triple M.